go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to focus on our workplaces and our lives and how we can share with others the good news of your love and your grace, Lord. Just ask that you be with us today. Help us to focus on that. Help us to focus on or to clear the distractions that may take us away from the lesson. Help us to focus on you and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So good morning, everybody. For the benefits of those who may be listening to this later, my name is John Page, and today we're continuing our look into the gospel in the workplace. Specifically, today we're going to study a lesson on sharing Christ with your colleagues. So let's open up by kind of clearing one thing up, right? I'm not leading this class because I'm some rock star of evangelism. And I'm out there every day sharing like I should be. So that's not why I'm here sharing this lesson. I'm here because this is the one Elliot gave me to share. So as we go through this and as I studied for this lesson, understand that you may be convicted by some of the things that I talk about here. Well, I was just as convicted as I was going through them. So we're in this together, okay? So let's start with a few questions to kind of set the stage. There's no need to raise your hand unless you really want to. First question, but make sure you answer them to yourself. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone from your workplace? Yes or no? That's the first question. Second question is, have you ever had the opportunity to share the gospel with someone from your work and didn't? And then if so, why were you reluctant to share with others? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to kind of talk about those things, sharing the gospel in our workplace, ways that we can do that, and why we're reluctant to do that at times. So obviously, you answered to yourself, maybe there was an opportunity for you to share and you didn't. Well, this will present us some good opportunities, some good information that perhaps we can change that. Ultimately, we're all called to share the gospel, obviously. But that isn't what saves us, right? What saves us is the grace that we've been shown by God. But because of that grace, the desire to share the gospel should flow from us. Naturally, we should want to share that with everybody that we come in contact with. And so that's what we're going to focus on. So how does God see sharing of the gospel? First, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and then verse 19 and 20. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And then 19 through 20 is, and God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So what does that mean for us? What should it mean for us that God is sharing his appeal through us?
Given such a gift, we need to share it with everybody.
Right. It's been given to us. It's not ours to keep, right? It's ours to share. And so we should share it. Any other thoughts? Okay. So as Christians, we should view this as we're fully credentialed. We're assigned this task by God, and we should be committed to sharing that, right? And that applies no matter what time of day it is, no matter where we are. So just because we're in a workplace or whatever it may be, that doesn't relieve us of that task that we've been called to do. We've been called to share it in the workplace, although we've talked about this kind of in the last few weeks, You know, we have a primary mission at work, and that's to reflect God, right? To show God's love, to show God's grace. The gospel is part of that. Sharing the gospel is a part of it. It may not be what we would consider our main part, but it is part of it, and we need to talk about how we do that and why we do that. Clearly, God calls us to share the good news, and that's part of what we're going to talk about. So, what other reason do you think we have, besides God's clear commandment, obviously, to share the good news? Why are we continuing to do that?
Someone shared it with us.
Someone shared it with us, and it's our responsibility to pass it on, right?
It's an act of love.
It's an act of love.
Out of gratitude, we share and do.
Out of gratitude to what God has given us, for what God has given us. Is God done yet? No, right? He's not done yet. So there's another good reason. And I wanted to share a couple quotes that I found that I think really drive home this point that God's not done with what he is trying to accomplish. So has everybody heard the saying or seen the movie God's Not Dead?
Yes.
Right? So here's a quote kind of in response to that. There never was a God. God is dead is a halfway measure I won't go with. Right? The concept of, well, if he didn't exist, how can he be dead? That's kind of what this person is saying. The second one is, if I had to imagine omnipresent, omnipotent power in the universe that chose to make my mother suffer, I don't know how I would make that make sense in the universe. Those are some pretty powerful words when you really think about it and show why people don't believe, right? Or at least from their perspective. So we're going to look at something. We're going to see a short video at the end. And I want you to kind of remember those words, but they're important to get them up front. So in light of these thoughts, it's clear that we need to share. But how can we faithfully share the gospel with people at work? First of all, let's talk about some terms, right? Sometimes when you talk about things, it's important for everybody to kind of have the same understanding or the same thought on what terms mean. So evangelism, what is evangelism? Definitions, what do you think?
Sharing the gospel with other people.
Any other thoughts?
Modeling what a Christian looks like.
Modeling what a Christian looks like. That's a good one. People often see what we do and question things based on what we do, either positive or negative. So sharing the gospel is really the definition of evangelism, right? Calling the lost to repentance for their sins and placing their faith in Jesus Christ. Pretty clear definition. So another question, what isn't evangelism? This one's a little different, right? Because oftentimes we look at what it is, but I've found that oftentimes when we look at what it is not, sometimes that clears up really what it is. So the first thing that I have on the list here is evangelism is not an imposition, right? It's not an inconvenience. It shouldn't be. It's what we're called to do. So someone may say, isn't it wrong for us to impose our beliefs on somebody? Well, guess what? We're not imposing our beliefs on somebody by sharing the gospel with them. What we're doing is we're sharing something with them. We can't make them believe anything. But ultimately, it's us just sharing, and then it's up to them and up to God, right? So it's not an imposition for us to share the gospel with somebody.
So some people will try to make you believe that.
Absolutely they will.
They'll try to convince you that you can't.
Right.
Tell people that.
But think about it, right? If somebody takes that approach with you, if you have a discussion about something and they have a different belief than you do, is it an imposition to have a discussion about that belief? I mean, really, that's what you're doing, right? You're having a discussion about beliefs. They may want to listen, they may not want to listen. If they don't want to listen, then you stop sharing, right? And that's why we should think of it as at least. They may think of it as one, but we shouldn't think of it as an imposition in sharing.
Yeah, there should be at least an exchange.
Right.
Exchange of ideas. At no point should somebody just cut off the whole conversation unless they just don't want to.
Right.
I mean, but that means that they're closed. Yeah. Closed as opposed to be willing to share.
Correct.
Wouldn't them telling you not to impose your beliefs on other people be them imposing their beliefs on you?
Exactly. Right? It's like the concept of we're all for diversity as long as the diversity isn't what you believe.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same kind of concept. We have our beliefs, and if you don't believe our beliefs, you're wrong.
You can think whatever you want, as long as it's within the limits of what I think you should think.
Right. Exactly. So we know it's not an imposition. Evangelism should not be just your personal testimony. Is your personal testimony part of it? Yeah, sure. But why would you say that your personal testimony is not evangelism by definition? What would you think?
Because you're focused on self and your personal beliefs and you're not focusing on Christ. That's my answer.
Right. You're not sharing the gospel, right? You're sharing how you became a Christian. And why you believe the way you do. Can that be part of it? Absolutely can. Can it be an important part of it? Yes, because you're sharing your personal thoughts with somebody.
And they can't argue with it.
And they can't argue with it, right? Because it's your what you experienced. But ultimately, all you're doing is sharing your experience. You're not sharing the gospel. So it is not just your personal testimony.
Otherwise, it's very much like, well, I believe this, and you believe, like, people are very happy if you believe other things. And if it's your personal testimony, there's not a call for them to do something.
Right.
Like, that's fine for you to believe that, but I believe something that, you know, is that they are called to, you know, that call to repent and place their faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And sensing that.
It's your personal experience, right? I've shared this before in other Sunday school classes. When we were stationed at Fort Rucker, there was a young lady who moved in housing with her boyfriend, and she was from Israel, born and raised there. And, you know, we were kind of talking with her about church and about God, and it was interesting because her immediate response was when we mentioned Jesus, and she says, oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. They teach about him in the history classes in Israel. And that was her perspective on him, right? And so we all have our own personal experiences, and it's good to share those, but we need to remember, ultimately, if we're just sharing our personal experience, that's all it is. It's not the gospel. So evangelism is not social action and public involvement. You know, working at a place that serves meals, that's wonderful. Protesting, you know, trying to get people to sign a petition for a certain law, those are all good things if they're directed correctly. But ultimately, they're not sharing the gospel. And so that's what we're focused on, is sharing the gospel. So evangelism is not apologetics. Apologetics, important thing, right? We need to be able to speak to God's truth, and we need to be able to answer certain questions as to why we believe the way we do. But ultimately, speaking from an authority that we see as an authority, the Bible, it may not be an authority to somebody else. right? This young lady I spoke about, she saw the Bible as a history book. So for her, it wasn't authoritative. It was just a lesson from school, as far as she was concerned. And only part of it was true, as far as she was concerned. So me speaking to why this is my truth is really just me sharing my belief again and not necessarily sharing the gospel. So when we look at these things, there was a pastor, his name's Andy Davis from First Baptist Church, Durham, and he said, you can't checkmate someone into heaven, right? You can have all the arguments you want, but ultimately, whatever argument you present, it's still just your argument. It's still just your belief. So personal testimony, social actions, apologetics, they may all accompany evangelism, but they are not evangelism in themselves because they are not the gospel. And so that's really the focus here, right? So what is the gospel? So if evangelism is about sharing the gospel, then we get down to what is the gospel? In short, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he lived and died for our sins, and all those who repent of those sins and put their faith and trust in him, that's the message that we're looking to share, that we should be sharing. So do you think it would have been a good idea for me to come to this class today, not have studied the lesson, not have prepared any notes, and just kind of walked in and started talking? Elliot's in the back going, no. Probably wouldn't have been a good idea. There are times when you have to improv things and kind of go with it, right? But this is not one of them. And in our sharing of the gospel, that should not be one of them also. There may be questions that we get that we don't have an answer for, and that's okay. But ultimately, we should be able to have at least the basics prepared and ready to share whenever we're called to share, whenever we get an opportunity to share. So there are a lot of different methods out there, a lot of different classes you can take, you know, books you can read that have techniques on sharing the gospel and how to be prepared to do that. But I'm going to share just one of those. And we've actually had kind of this same kind of thought here and text before. And it's basically sharing based on four words, right? The first word is God. God made us. He made us to reflect how amazing he is. That's the first thing. The second thing is man. That's us, right? And God called us to worship him, and we failed. We failed to follow what he asked us to do. So therefore, we sinned and have fallen short of what it is he asks of us. The third one is Christ. But Christ, being fully God, fully man, lived a perfect life, but ultimately and amazingly, he died on the cross sinless to pay for the sins that we did. And then the last is response, right? In order to receive salvation, you have to respond by turning away from sin and accepting Christ as your Savior and putting your complete faith in him, because that's the only way to salvation. So this is just one of those ways, like I talked about, right? There's a lot of different opportunities out there, a lot of books. There's some sitting on the shelves out there that you can read that talk about different techniques. But, you know, this is one of those techniques. So just kind of my personal view, I'm not a fan of looking at evangelism and sharing the gospel as us selling something. Right? That's not what we're doing. And I would discourage that. But I was listening to the radio, and there's a advertisement on there for a company that does sales training, right? They have books and whatever, and they do sales training. And listening to this advertisement, one of the things that they talked about that I found astonishing, and I'm not in sales by any means, but they shared some statistic, and it was like 70% of the salespeople working never ask for a sale. They'll be in front of you, and they'll be talking to you about their product and or calling you on the phone or whatever it may be, and they never once ask you for the sale. They talk about everything, and you're arguing with them or doing whatever you're doing with them, and they just get so discouraged that they never get to that point where they ask you to buy the product. And that's pretty amazing when you really think about it. When your sole job is to sell something, and 70% of the people don't even ask for the sale, that's pretty amazing. So I... Keep pitching it, huh? So what this did is it kind of drove me to do a little bit of research because I was kind of astonished by that figure. And I found an article that was very interesting. And it stated, everyone, whether they are in sales or not, understands that selling is about connecting with customers, asking questions, finding out their wants or their needs, showing them your product and services, and how those products meet their needs. And then close the sale by asking for the order. But why do people find asking for the order a bit so difficult? What do you think the answer is? What do you think probably the number one reason people don't ask for the sale?
They say no.
Fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection. They're afraid of being rejected. Or they've just assumed that you're already going to reject them. And so they just move on. Go to the next person, go to the next thing, whatever it is. That's the number one reason. But there are a bunch of other ones, right? So the first one, fear of man. We don't want to be thought of as less of a colleague, less of a friend, whatever it may be, because we're sharing the gospel. Earlier, when there were just a couple of us in here, Matt was talking about his workplace. You know, and trying to invite people to church and stuff. And what was it you said they think of you, Hal?
I think I'm a retard.
Yeah.
I know that's a trigger word. Sorry, folks. Yeah. You get over it.
Yeah, adults.
They think less of you, right? That's what we think. So we don't want to share. We don't want to lose our reputation, whatever it may be. We don't want to lose our jobs. There's some places that sharing can result in that potentially, depending on what your workplace is. So, could I get somebody to please read Matthew chapter 10, verse 16?
Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents.
It's a tough world, right? It's a tough place to share. Clearly, the Bible tells us that we're going out and that it's going to be hard on us. But we're going to talk about that a little bit as we get a little further on. So time and attention, we get wrapped up in other things. You know, we talked about this, I think, last week, where especially in the workplace, right? We're there to work. They're paying us to work. So we have to be very careful about how much time we spend doing this, right? Because you can't just stop working and not produce whatever it is that you're called to do at work to do this. We have to be careful about that because then it becomes other problems. It becomes other issues. And we're not representing Christ in the manner that we're called to. But then we also have to be careful that we don't get so wrapped up in the other things that we're doing, that we're supposed to do from a pay perspective or whatever, that we miss opportunities to share as Christ would want us to share. Propriety. So as Christians, we have concerns about workplace and the environment, or evangelism in the workplace sometimes. We have, you know, our HR departments or whatever, they may have policies that talk about it. So we need to be careful about that and share in a manner that is appropriate for our workplace. But, you know, one of the things that we can do is become friends with those around us, right? Just because we're in the workplace doesn't mean that we won't get opportunities to share outside of the workplace if we become friends with folks. Know them beyond what your workplace is. And oftentimes those present opportunities that you may not get while you're at work. Being ill-prepared. So there's a German field marshal, that he believed in developing a series of plans rather than just having a single plan when he went off into battle. And his belief was no plan of operation extends with certainty beyond the first encounter of the enemy's main strength. Currently, we approach that with the concept of no plan survives first contact. Is kind of how we voice it now, right? The first time you encounter the enemy, your plan goes out the window because the enemy doesn't always do what you expect them to do. Might be a better way of putting that. Start over, right?
And like the football game. We're losing the game. Timeout.
All start.
Yeah.
It's
a mulligan in golf, right? You know what they call it?
Yeah. Everybody's got a plan. You get hit in the face.
That's right.
Did you read my lesson? That was the other one, right? That one's kind of the more worldly one, right? Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the face. And that was Mike Tyson that said that.
It's like being a mom. You play, you're going to be dying today. And then the kid wakes up.
Yeah. You have a plan for the day, and then there it goes, out the window. So, ultimately, we can plan, we can prepare, we can study, we can do all of those things. But that may not be God's plan, right? So we just need to be prepared and do what we can to prepare for that. Could I get somebody to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12?
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
So God sends us out there among the wolves and doesn't give us anything, right? No, not true. He gives us the full armor of God. He gives us something to prepare for whatever comes. Whatever it is, we can prepare through him and be ready to share. So the next one I have down on my list is, I don't really know any non-Christians. You ever heard that one? If you don't know any non-Christians, then you're probably not putting yourself out there enough.
Or maybe you're it. Sorry.
If
there you go. It comes down to, I heard somebody say, and I don't have the exact words, but basically, if you're always up on the mountain, then you never know what it's like to be in the valley, right? You've got to share with others. You can't share with your fellow Christians because that's great. We grow. Yeah, we grow, but ultimately we're called to share and grow the kingdom. And if we're only interacting with each other, then we're not growing the kingdom. We kind of talked about this one. It's discouraging, right? So if I share with somebody, they may reject me. They may say, oh, I'm not interested in that. Matt mentioned, yeah, I got one of his people that he talked with said, yeah, I got rid of that stuff a long time ago. Right? So it's discouraging for us. But in several lessons, we've talked about what is the criteria by which we should judge our work as believers. Anybody remember? Is it, I talked to 5 people today, so I'm good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I got my little check marks. It's by our faithfulness. What criteria should we judge ourselves by as Christians?
What's your measure?
What's your measure?
Success measure?
Our measure is faithfulness. How faithful were you to share in that opportunity that you had? Not whether somebody accepted the invitation, but did you share the invitation? So let's talk about a few. Anybody have any other things that they can think of that are reasons why we don't share? Any other thoughts? Okay. Let's talk about some tools in the workplace that we can use for evangelism. So let's break it down into kind of 2 things, right? First, we'll talk about what we can do privately, and then we'll talk about what we can do publicly in the workplace. So privately, we can pray. That's a great place to start, right? Pray for those in the workplace. Pray for your opportunities to share, that you'll be bold in those opportunities when they come about. Pray for people specifically. You know, I talked about getting to know people in the workplace, right? Get to know those around you. When you get to know people, then you get to know their families, their spouses, their children, whoever it may be. Learn those things about them so that you can pray for them specifically and those opportunities that present themselves to you. The second one is study the word, know the gospel, right? Know it, be able to share the gospel in increments. Has anybody ever shared or heard of an elevator speech or an elevator pitch? So what that is, oftentimes in the business place, what you'll get is your boss will tell you, okay, what I want you to be able to do is I want you to be able to share our product, our office, whatever it is we do within the time it takes the elevator to get from the 10th floor to the first floor. Or I want you to be able to share who you are in that time frame, right? Because you may meet somebody in an elevator and you only have that amount of time to get whatever message it is across to them that you're trying to get across to them. And so if we think about the gospel in that sense, and we have opportunities, right? We may only have 1 minute, we may have 10 minutes, we may have an hour. We don't know how much of an opportunity we're going to get to share. And we should be able to kind of break it into those pieces. And if I only have 1 minute, what am I going to share? If I only have 10 minutes, what am I going to share? If I have an hour, what am I going to share? Right? So we should be able, as we're studying this, to kind of think about it in those terms also. What opportunity is going to be presented to me, and how do I prepare myself for those opportunities, whether they be short or whether they be longer? Have the right metrics. So that's kind of the measure that we talked about, right? What is it that I determine if I've been successful as a believer today? It's certainly not how many people I shared with. It's my faithfulness in sharing, because God may not give me an opportunity to share today. And so if I don't have an opportunity to share, then how am I going to be successful? It's in my faithfulness to share, or my faithfulness to pray about opportunities to share. That may be the only thing I get today. Cultivate humility. So when we start talking about humility, we understand that it's oftentimes not common in the workplace, right? Depending on where you work. Some places are great about that. Other places, not so much. Because everybody's fighting to get to the top, right? So, I have not seen this movie. I'm not endorsing this movie because I have not seen it or read a whole lot about it. But I started doing some digging into the movie Christ Revolution, or Jesus Revolution, that's out right now. And like I said, I haven't read many reviews on it, or not saying it's a good movie, bad movie. But one of the things I read about it is Kelsey Grammer plays a preacher in California, a pastor, and he invites kind of these hippies into his church. Well, his congregation is, we'll just put it there, they're a little older, right? And so he's trying to find ways to grow his congregation and reach younger people. And this is like the 70s time frame. And so he invites these hippies in, right? And his congregation is just like, what in the world are you doing? You know, these people are coming in, long hair, beards, not clean. And he ends up, and it's a true story, at least according to what they're saying, he ends up, the second time he invites them in, he takes a water basin to the back of the church, and as they're coming in, he starts cleaning their feet, as Jesus did.
There's a picture,
right? That's humility. Now, would it go over well if we take a basin of water to work and start offering to clean people's feet when they come in? Probably not. But from a concept perspective, that's how we should be thinking. We should be thinking about service. We should be thinking about not us being on the top, but us being on the bottom and serving, right? Servant leadership. So let's talk about, well, actually, let me give you an opportunity. Anybody have anything else you can think of privately that we could do?
You can even practice with fellow Christians, you know, that may take some of the anxiety out of,
yeah,
you know, cold calling someone with the gospel, you know,
yep,
at lunch or whatever.
We, you know, I shared one method. Right, there's a lot of different other methods out there. We can practice on other people. We can read. We can study. There's a lot of techniques out there that are very good, that will prepare us and make us feel better, more prepared, I should say, about sharing. Anything else you can think of? Plays into exactly what we're going to talk about. I like when that plan works. Publicly, right? Put Christ on the table. If you don't ever speak about him, if you don't ever mention him, if you don't ever have anything that reflects him, how are your coworkers going to know that you're a believer, right? How are they going to ask you questions if they don't know that you're somebody that they should ask the question of? Now, how do you do that? You can put things, you know, have a Bible at your office, have it on your desk, read, set at your desk during your lunchtime, whatever it may be, do things that show others who you are and that you're a believer so that they know that. And then ultimately, one of the other things you can do is ask good questions. Right? Talk to people and ask them questions to help them share. They don't have to be in-depth questions. Tangie said one of them right there is, what are you reading? Right? Ask them, what are you reading right now? Find out what they're interested in, and that'll give you opportunities. Ask them if I came to see you on Saturday or Sunday, what would you be doing? What do you like to do? You know, what are the things that you do on your time off? Did you grow up in a religious family? What were your family beliefs? Those kinds of things. And then those lead into deeper questions, right? Somebody may tell you that they're Jewish or they're Hindu or Muslim or whatever it may be. And that leads you into the deeper questions of, well, what do you believe about? And then fill in the blank, right? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about God? Then that gives you opportunities to start having those deeper discussions. And, you know, we talked about an imposition, right? People may think if you just start sharing with them immediately that that's what they're going to perceive it as. But if you're having discussions with them, that's not how they're going to perceive it. They're going to perceive it as you're interested in what they're talking about and what they're doing. And so now you have this opportunity. Second one I have on this list is be excellent at what you do. Whatever it is you do, do it well. Because if you do it well, you're now an example. People are going to ask you questions. People are going to talk to you. People are going to want to know why you do things the way you do. And that gives you opportunities to share. Build loving relationships with others around you. And I'm running a little behind, so I'm going to try and get through this because I have a short video I want to show. Build loving relationships with those around you. Talk to them. Grow with them. Talk to them and build things outside of work. Build opportunities where you can have detailed conversations with them and you're not on the clock. You're not getting paid to do things at work. Be wise and winsome, pleasant or endearing, if you don't know what that means. It's interesting. I actually knew somebody that was her name. And I had no idea that was the definition of it. And then I read the definition of it, and I was like, no. So don't be worried and wimpy, right? Don't be concerned about sharing because, like we said, our criteria is to be faithful in what we share, not worry about the result that we get from sharing. Mobilization. So think about wherever you're at, whether it's work, volunteer, home, you know, visiting with friends. Think about it as your mission field, right? You may not be overseas somewhere as a full-time missionary, but this is our mission field. And we're called to share just as missionaries are overseas. Same thing, same responsibilities. So we need to do that. So, in conclusion, remember those quotes that we had earlier from the lesson? So I want to show you a short video, and hopefully this works out. I think if I do this, it will read it again, but let's see.
Turn it back on yesterday?
Yeah, it looks like it turned off.
There should be a mouse on this side, right?
Like the other neighbor. There's like a little dimple on the other side. John, the other side. There's a dimple or something on the bottom. I don't know what it is. I'm just guessing here.
Did it get it?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's taking us some time. Right.
Okay, so this video, you may know this person. He is a very, very vocal atheist.
You will when you see him. That's a terrible picture.
That's a terrible picture.
He's a magician.
Wi-Fi gun.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Of course, it worked fine when I did it earlier. Come on.
You can just tell us about how good it is.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to. Because I don't seem to be able to get it to work even though. I'm not an Apple person, so.
You have to have a password.
This is my
That's not your iPad?
No.
You got to pass the first block.
Wi-Fi top.
Well, if I was him, I'd want one of
you
to come help me.
They are helping.
Here we go. It's doing it.
No, I don't really want anybody to come help.
Oh, no, I would want. Yeah, oh, see, I guess I'm not a guy. I'd be like, somebody just come do it.
I don't know why it's not picking up any.
Yeah, it's not picking anything up. Oh, is it? No, it's not in airplane mode. There it goes.
Yeah.
Okay, just tell phone number, 530.
The only network available here is GPS.
659-7517.
Well, there's the SBC public. Oh, it's not even showing up there, huh?
It's coming up. Hold on.
It worked this morning.
Yeah, it worked fine this morning.
You're on. You're on.
John, you did everything right.
I tested it this morning.
You want to go back to Aaron and put it back on. See all that I want to do that means.
There you go.
Fine.
There you go. Oh, you did it.
I can hold the show, and at the end of the show, as I mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks, you know, sign an occasional autograph, shake hands, and so on. And there was one guy waiting over at the side, what I call the hover position, after I was old, a big guy, probably about my age. Big guy.
So this is Penn Jillette, for those who don't know him.
The guy who has
Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller.
During our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from him in his hand, as we give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, that's not worth explaining. He had props from the show that we give them the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. I wanted, and he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New Testament, just part of the New Testament. A little book about this big, this thing, you know. So he said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make them socially awkward. And atheists who think that people should proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle it. And this is more important than that. And I always thought that, and I've written about that, I thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite.
I'm going to stop it there.
Yeah.
He still at the end says he still doesn't believe in God. But ultimately, that statement from an atheist, how much do you have to hate somebody to not share with them if you know this is going to happen? So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, for your grace, for the salvation that you provide for us, Lord. We just ask that you be with us. Give us the boldness that you want us to have. Help us to see those opportunities where we have to share with others, Lord. And we just thank you for those. We ask that you help us to focus on them and to use them in the way that you want us to. In Christ's name we pray.